Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavit Hafwai. UK's Prime Minister David Cameron has come out defending nuclear weapons or weapons of mass destruction, backing his claim with nuclear threats coming from North Korea. He called ownership of nuclear weapons the ultimate insurance policy. His own party, the Lib Dem Coalition, has hit back. In this debate, we will discuss why David Cameron insists nuclear weapons are a deterrent and how his plans of replacing and renewing Britain's four nuclear submarines, which carry Trident ballistic missiles, may cause rifts not only within his own party, but with the general public in UK as well.
Prime Minister David Cameron's recent remarks on upgrading Britain's nuclear weapons seems to have caused a stir among British politicians, including members of his coalition government. Cameron says London should continue to go ahead with the costly Trident weapons program because of what he has described as possible foreign threats against the country, particularly from North Korea.
We see, a number of dangers and uncertainties with nuclear states in our world. Do we really want Britain to give up nuclear weapons, to give up that ultimate insurance policy? I don't believe we do. And we have here a deterrent that is credible, that works. And we should keep it and we should renew it.
He made the remarks while touring the HMS Victorious, a Vanguard-class nuclear ballistic missile submarine based off the west coast of Scotland. Trident, which is operated by the Royal Navy, is an operational system of four submarines armed with nuclear missiles. Britain should spend £25 billion, nearly $40 billion US dollars, to upgrade the system. But politicians from the Liberal Democrat Party, which is a partner in Cameron's coalition government, do not agree with the Prime Minister.
It's not actually usable, but it costs a lot of money and squeezes the budget. So, I think in the present conventional circumstances, under the pressures we are, I think regardless of your politics, you have to ask questions of how affordable is a scale of nuclear deterrence such as Trident if we were to replace it.
Another politician has gone as far as describing Cameron's remarks over the replacement of Trident on a like-for-like basis as ridiculous.
I don't think that anyone can credibly argue that there is a current threat to the United Kingdom. And I think to link what is happening in North Korea to the case for replacing Trident for the like-to-like cases is ridiculous.
But the rifts among the British politicians over the country's weapons of mass destruction, especially at a time of harsh austerity measures and a deepening debt crisis, do not seem to be running that deep. Malcolm Bruce has clarified that his party is not in favor of nuclear disarmament and is only looking for an alternative program which is less expensive. The opposition to the costly program is not limited to politicians from Cameron's coalition government, but also from political figures in Scotland. The Scottish National Party has reiterated that it would not allow the UK government to base nuclear weapons in Scotland if next year's referendum favors independence. Based on local media reports in Scotland, Parliament and 80% of the people of Scotland want to get rid of the program. They say Trident represents a waste of £100 billion of their money at harsh economic times when every penny counts.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. From the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker joins us from San Francisco. We have a former U.S. intelligence officer, Bob Ayers, who joins us from Somerset. Gentlemen, welcome, Bob Ayers. Let me first get a reaction from you on what David Cameron has said. And that is, do we really want Britain to give up nuclear weapons, to give up that ultimate insurance policy? Is it an insurance policy, nuclear weapons?
Well, I believe that the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom believes it is an insurance policy. He is looking around the world and seeing a great deal of uncertainty, and he's seeing nuclear threats in the form of North Korea and other powers that are developing nuclear weapons. And I believe he thinks it's an equalizer that the UK needs to retain.
Richard Becker, your reaction? Same question?
I couldn't really hear your other guest, but I think that it's the argument that Cameron is making is clearly ludicrous. It's reminiscent of what was going on a little over 10 years ago, just before the attack on Iraq, the U.S.-British invasion and occupation of Iraq, where you had then Prime Minister Tony Blair talking about how in 45 minutes time that London could be targeted from Iraq with a weapon of mass destruction. It was all completely made up. It was, but it's not much different now. Does anybody credibly believe Britain, England is now in danger of being attacked by North Korea? No, the real reason for this, the real reasons for it is, number one, that Britain, which has hundreds of nuclear warheads, and isn't it funny that some countries can have weapons of mass destruction, and that's all fine, even if they're the countries that have pillaged the world for centuries, like Britain, France, and the United States. It's all fine for them to have all these weapons of mass destruction. But these weapons of mass destruction, from the point of view of the ruling elite in Britain today, are a key element in trying to maintain Britain as a world power, even if it has to be the junior partner these days of the United States. To spend hundreds of billions of dollars on these extremely destructive, insanely destructive weapon systems, each one of those submarines can fire a minimum, can target a minimum of 40 different centers of human population with nuclear weapons far greater in scope than what destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And to spend all that money at a time when everything is being slashed in Britain for the people, for the working class, for the students, for the average person in the country, is just really a reflection of the priorities of that ruling elite to spend all this money to maintain their position in the world and, of course, to enrich the arms industry.
Well, we're going to talk about how that's going to sacrifice the general public in the UK. But, Bob Ayers, to further expand on what Richard Becker said there, basically each submarine can carry 16 Trident missiles, which can carry up to 48 warheads. Of course, not to mention UK stockpile of fewer or roughly around 200 operationally available warheads. I mean, that sounds like an awful lot for the UK Prime Minister to come out. And I ask you, as many have asked and are questioning, are they even workable? Or is it going to be a deterrent, as the UK has said?
Well, that's a lot of questions in one statement. Are they workable? Of course they're workable. That's why they've been built. That's why they've been manufactured. And that's why they represent a deterrent, because they are workable. The question of whether or not they cost too much is an interesting one. Your other speaker raised the issue of cost and how the cost was depriving the UK of those monies that could be used for other things. And a cost argument is just not a valid argument to use on nuclear weapons. If they were only £5 a piece, would that mean that we shouldn't spend £5 on them? No, of course not. Nuclear weapons are a deterrent. They prevent other nuclear powers from engaging you. It's a extenuation and continuation of the old concept of mutually assured destruction that the U.S. and the Soviet Union put together, which basically said, we both have nuclear weapons. If you use them on us, we'll use them on you, and no one will win. Well, what the U.K. is trying to do right now is to recognize that there are powers in the world that are acting very irrationally, and they're nuclear powers. It takes a long, long time to develop nuclear weapons. The UK believes that if they were to abandon nuclear weapons now, and then at some point in the future they decided they needed to reintroduce them, the development time and the manufacturing time would be extensive. It'd be very long. And they don't want to risk that.
Do you buy that, Richard Becker, what Bob Ayers is saying?
Not at all. I mean, I think it's kind of funny, actually, to have this presentation of Britain as victim. Just as amusing would be the United States as victim or as target, because that's the fundamental underlying precept of his argument, that that there's somebody out there that's thinking about attacking Britain. In reality, there's a long and bloody history of these empires. But the defenders of the empire continue to pretend that they are the victims, that they are the targets or the potential targets. And in reality, as I said before, this is really about maintaining a semblance of, and a considerable semblance of, British power. I would say, as the question that the other speaker raised, if it costs £5, would it be? No, they should get rid of nuclear weapons. Need to be eliminated, and they need to go first. They need to first be eliminated by the great powers, and particularly the great power that has used nuclear weapons against people, and that would be the United States. But the U.S., the British, the French, the biggest nuclear powers in the world, along with Russia, you know, their nuclear weapons should be done away with altogether, because the use of nuclear weapons in war, the idea of nuclear war, is the idea of the potential end to human life and possibly all life on the planet.
And there's a point there, Bob Ayers, and I'm going to take that into the P5 plus one as the U.K. is a member. Is it right for the U.K. to tell countries not to have nuclear weapons while they have it?
It's one of these very interesting questions. The other speaker is arguing for total nuclear disarmament. And you have a situation where no one wants to disarm as long as someone else has nuclear weapons. That's why we have situations like we have today. The Chinese have nuclear weapons, the French have nuclear weapons, the Pakistanis have nuclear weapons, the Indians have nuclear weapons, the Israelis have nuclear weapons, the North Koreans have nuclear weapons. Now, I grant you, and I, with deference to the other speaker, the world would be a better place without nuclear weapons. The problem is that you can't trust nation states like North Korea to unilaterally disarm. And when you have a rogue state or a state that is outside the bounds of international law with nuclear weapons, and you think the solution to the problem is for you to disarm and allow them to retain their weapons, you're a very foolish man.
Okay, quick time out right now. Take a listen to a viewer comments on our Facebook page as to the topic of this debate. Let's take a listen to that.
The Trident nuclear program is a waste of public taxpayers' money and should be put to better use, like the NHS, the National Health Service. Joe Rahman.
Well, Richard Becker, you heard the viewer there. I mean, you touched on that in terms of the time where the UK budget is squeezed so much. And here we have the Prime Minister wanting to spend, what is it, £25 billion of about $40 billion of a new generation of submarines for these Trident missiles.
Yeah, and I've seen much higher figures than that, too, for what it would eventually cost. All these defense systems, so-called defense systems, and they're not, I think they're offense systems. I think they're, if you have them, you can threaten others who don't have them, particularly, and we've seen a lot of that. But they always have cost overruns. And, you know, we experienced that here in the United States in the same way, that the vast diversion of funds that are critically needed that could solve problems in the United States, but not just in the United States, in the world, like hunger in the world and clean water and so forth. Instead, we have, in reality here in the United States, a government that's spending over $1 trillion a year on military, on wars past, present, past and present. And you have Britain, which is in the throes of austerity, and the prime minister talking about really this incredible waste. And it's worse than a waste because of what is produced by spending that much money and the danger that that poses to humanity. But certainly it clearly impacts on things like the National Health Service, which are being cut back, and many other programs that are suffering in Britain, and the people are suffering there.
Well, the big question, Bob Ayers, is the cost. Where is this money going to come from? We just had George Osborne come out on the new budget that he presented, and he said that £9 billion of the budget of the MOD is going to be cut to go into infrastructure. Now, I'm guessing that, you know, you have this program, the Trident, being renovated and upgraded. So doesn't that come also under the umbrella of MOD? So is this where it's going to be? And can UK afford this, the government there, at this point?
Well, the UK can certainly afford it. It's a matter of simply prioritizing resource allocation. The actual source of funds, whether it be MOD funds or whether it be national funds that are in some other funding stream, is immaterial. Once the political decision is made that they're going to retain this, then they will find the money to retain it. They will find the money to enhance it and to support it and keep it in operational service. Yes, other things will suffer as a result of that. Your other speaker uses the NHS. Well, maybe the welfare budget will suffer. Maybe the budget that is used for subsidizing farmers will suffer. There's only a fixed amount of money, and the question is how you prioritize the use of that money. And the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom has decided that one of his high priorities will be the continuation of the nuclear deterrent. Now, we can disagree with that, and we can argue that he shouldn't do it, but fundamentally, he's a national leader, and he's making a national decision. And it's a decision that the United Kingdom is making. We may not like it, but we have to at least respect that decision.
Richard Becker, if we want to look at some of the pushbacks within Cameron's party, it has come from many directions. And one of them, Danny Alexander, the chief secretary of the Treasury. Back in January, he said the Treasury does not have a magic pot of money. And more recently, we had member of parliament from the Lib Dem party, Malcolm Bruce. The truth is a nuclear deterrent is just that. It's not actually usable, but it costs a lot of money and it squeezes the budget. So I'm gathering from what Bob Iyer said that, well, you know, people are going to suffer. And so be it, because it's for the national security of the UK. Do you buy that?
No, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, who's threatening Britain right now? I mean, in Britain, I think, is threatening, still threatening other countries. I think that, you know, the idea of the conflict over the Malvinas Islands, you know, one side has nuclear weapons and the other side doesn't. And not that I'm predicting there's about to be a nuclear war, but that certainly weighs into the consideration. And the idea that it's that it's okay that somehow a decision has been made to go ahead with this, I don't think that decision has been made yet. I think Cameron wants to go ahead with it, and the people around him and the top military brass may want to go along with it in Britain. But I hope that the people there will rise up against it and put a stop to it. Because just as I hope the same thing happens in the United States in regard to all these systems, the drones, the deadly drones and the nuclear weapons and all and the basing of more than 1,000 U.S. bases around the world, on every continent. What does this all mean for humanity, both in England and the United States and the rest of the world, to waste the resources, the precious and limited resources of the world, pursuing war? And the most dangerous kind of war of all, which is nuclear, would of course be a nuclear war.
Well, Bob Iyers, you said that because of national security, so be it, that the people have to, in different sectors of the public in the UK, may have to suffer for that. But just the other day, more recently, was the bedroom tax and welfare cut protesters that came to the streets across the UK. That includes a cut in housing benefits, not to mention the austerity cuts that they're struggling with, including an economy that's really struggling. You don't think that this is going to have people come out in droves and protest against this were it to happen?
No, not at all. I mean, the argument that people are going to suffer because of the way the UK prioritizes the resource allocation is really kind of silly. Up until the current government took power in the United Kingdom, you earned more on welfare than the average wage earner earned in the United Kingdom. In other words, you earned more money not working than you did if you worked. So one of the things the current government is doing is trying to rebalance the welfare state. That's a problem that they're trying to address. However, you don't rebalance the welfare state at the expense of abandoning your ability to defend yourself. Now, your other speaker keeps talking about the UK and the US, the US and the UK. I haven't heard him say a word about Red China. I haven't heard him say a word about Russia. I haven't heard him say a word about India or Pakistan or North Korea, who's threatening to use nuclear weapons today. So if the argument is going to be, let's take on the United States, fine, we can argue about that. But if the argument is on British nuclear weapons, let's argue about that. But let's not use this as a soapbox to get up and portray the United States as a world aggressor. That's not the topic. And if you want to talk about aggression, talk about North Korea. They're the ones that are threatening to use nuclear weapons today, not the United States and not the UK.
So, Richard Becker, you argue the way you'd like to in regards to what Bob Iyer said there.
Well, the U.S. and Britain are partners in imperialism. Let's just put it that way, that they have invaded together, bombed, sanctioned, blockaded, killed millions and displaced more in Iraq and Afghanistan. And yet, Bob Iyers is presenting them as the potential victims who must have nuclear weapons to protect themselves from the rest of the world. I mean, this is really a very typical argument that we hear both in Britain and the United States. But to say that it's silly to say that spending this money, huge amounts of money on the military, does not deprive people of essential services that they need, that's pretty silly. I mean, I don't see how you get around that point. And even earlier in his argument, Mr. Ayers stated there are limited resources, and we all know that there are limited resources. And if they go to war, then to further militarism, to building up new nuclear systems, nuclear weapons systems, some people will get very rich from that. Some people will benefit from it. The military high command will be all for it. And the people in power who want to defend their privileges in the world, they'll be all for it. But the great majority of people in Britain will suffer from this. And, of course, that suffering would be nothing compared to the suffering of the people if those nuclear weapons were actually deployed against another country. The people in that country, of course, would be enduring something that is completely beyond imagination. So here we have the development of systems that are against the interest of the people of the world.
I need to squeeze this question in. It's a reaction, Bob Ayers, that's come from Scotland. Cameron has tied himself to a pro-nuclear weapons position. The Scottish National Party, well, they're against the Trident program, said it would not allow the UK government to base nuclear weapons in Scotland if next year's referendum favors independence. Now, the people in Scotland, Bob Ayers, don't want this facility that's going to tie in £100 billion that they have to pay. Your reaction to Scotland's reaction on this?
Well, the polls in Scotland, the most recent polls, show that the people supporting Scottish independence are in a very, very small minority of the people in Scotland. Most of the people want to retain their participation as part of the United Kingdom. It's one thing to say we don't want to have a nuclear submarine base in Scotland, but when you consider the jobs and the employment and the amount of money that flows into Scotland to support that base, you find that when you start saying, well, we'll pull out the military base, we'll pull out the shipyards, we'll pull everything out of Scotland if you want to be independent, and we'll do all of our national defense work in either England, Wales, Northern Ireland, the Scottish are very unhappy with that thought. So I don't think there's much likelihood that you're going to see the Scottish National Party get a vote authorizing Scotland to secede from the United Kingdom. Right now, there's very, very little chance that's going to happen. And as long as they stay part of the United Kingdom, there will be a nuclear submarine base in Faslane.
And finally, Richard Becker, quick response from you. If we have people in the government there thinking that diplomacy, no, let's build up on our nuclear arsenal, the way to go. What does that show? Quickly.
Well, I mean, I think it's a continuation of what's been going on for a very long time. And as I said before, you have the aggressors posing as victims. This is true in regard to, certainly in regard to Iran today, which is surrounded by nuclear weapons and military power of occupying forces. So, you know, the reality of the situation is that this buildup is not for deterrence, it's not for defense, it's for potential offense and for intimidation of other countries. That's why the British government, the Cameron government, is promoting, along with the profit involved in it, for some, is promoting the new Trident missile system.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. I'm sorry to jump in there, but thank you very much from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker there, and also I'd like to thank former U.S. intelligence officer Bob Ayers. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom at presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vitapoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.